time I come back to Him, He is waiting with open arms, and I see once again He's been faithful, so faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned and I failed to believe, still He's been faithful, so faithful to me. He's been faithful, so faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned and I failed to believe, still He's been faithful, so faithful to me. Though in my heart I have questioned, oh, and I failed to believe, still He's been faithful, so faithful to me. Though in my heart I have questioned, oh, and I failed to believe, still He's been faithful, so faithful to me. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. How many knows that by experience? Hallelujah. Amen. He has met our needs time and time again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He has come through. Brother and sister, I'm telling you the truth. You live for God and you be faithful to Him, and you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. He has met, I'm telling you, He comes through at times. There's been times we've made miscalculations in finances, not realizing what the left hand or the right hand had done, kind of thing. And God just come through and thinking, you know, boy, that's a nice, only to realize He already knew about the mistake, for we knew about it. Amen. God is so good. He took care of us driving down the road, all those trips. No telling the things that could happen. And God has already watched out for us. Amen. You're never, ever going to regret being faithful to God in every way. Every way. Amen. You sure will. I love that song. Psalms 91 this morning. We were visiting with Sister Suits yesterday. She asked us to read a couple of psalms to her. And one of these was actually one of the psalms that we read with her yesterday. But I love how it speaks to my heart. Maybe it's just for me and maybe no one else. May not get a touch, but I feel as though maybe the Lord will help strengthen me this morning with it. Psalms 91 and 1, we'll just read the first verse, but we'll be in this chapter through the whole message. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that secret place. Thank the Lord that He has that secret place for you and I. Amen. One writer in a commentary had stated that he was concerned, or he thought, this Adam Clark writing, that this could be seen as a dialogue between David, Solomon, and the Lord. And this is how he kind of pictured it this morning. In the first verse, he sees David talking, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty." Then he hears Solomon answer in verse 2, "I'll say of Jehovah, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust," or "in Him I will trust." And then David picks back up in verses 3 through 8. Solomon answers in verse number 9 in the very first portion of that scripture. David picks it back up in the second portion of verse number 9 through 13. And then the Lord comes in and caps it off in verses 14 through 16. As you read that, you I guess could see a picture of a conversation taking place like that this morning. But if that was the case, I think that you and I could just kind of interject my name, your name, in there where Solomon is, and listen to what the writer has to say to us and what the Lord has to say back. Amen? Wouldn't that be great if you could just kind of put your name in there as opposed to Solomon and hear what the Lord had to say to us this morning? Help me. This morning I'd like to preach to us about the secret place of the Most High. Notice here in the first four verses, the writer tells us here in our text, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Amen. These first four verses, as we try to find the secret place of the Most High, and there are no doubt there are places that you've been in the Lord. There are places that maybe you've never been in the Lord. But I know this morning that for anybody who has lived very long trying to serve God in a troubled world as we're living in, facing all of the problems and those unexpected circumstances that come in our lives, you have found that there has to be and there is a secret place that you can dwell in the Lord. Amen. If you've never found that place this morning, then I'd sure encourage you to find that place, because you're going to need it soon. You're going to need it as life comes your way and all of the unexpected trials and the unexpected experiences, the health issues, the loss of family, the remorse, all the various things that life can throw our way. You will need a secret place to go to. Amen. You'll need a place where you can just kind of hide. Amen. But it's more than just going off somewhere to hide and going over here to hide. Amen. The secret place of God. Amen. It's not necessarily a place that's hidden to everybody. But at times it just needs to be hidden between you and the devil. Amen. The enemy of your soul, that's what you need to hide from every once in a while. And in these first four places, it's a place of devotion. Amen. The refuge and fortress in verse 2. There's a deliverer from the snare or a trap. And then he goes on, and from pestilence. Another word might be plague. Amen. He's our comforter. He's our defense. Amen. It's just simply a place where you devote some time, amen, to the Lord, trying to get away from the worries and troubles of life, the pressures that, amen, at times just build upon us and build until you feel like you're weighted down, and everywhere you go, you're trying to carry some obstacle with you, and it's always in the way. day. Hey, man, you're trying to serve the Lord, but every time you turn around, you're dealing with an issue, dealing with a problem, dealing with something that's uncomfortable. Amen. And the only way to get there is to find a place of devotion. Amen. When you get to that place, you see that the Lord has prepared, amen, for you a refuge. He has prepared for you a fortress. You ever been in that place? Amen. When I imagine some of those old battles in Civil War history, and some of those men as they were under the gun, amen, more than just in one way, but they would find a place that they could hide. Now, our man and our hand-to-hand combats kind of went by the wayside these days. But in those days gone by, it wasn't like that. Man, they were told, what was the writer? He said, don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Isn't that what he said? I hope that's history. Amen. Don't shoot till you, if that's the case, you got to be pretty close, because I can't see some of the whites of some of your eyes from here. Got to be pretty close to your enemy at times. And there's no doubt that the enemy, amen, likes to get close to you and I, amen, as close as we'll allow him, close as he can get. And you need a fortress that you can run to. Amen. Your daily devotion, that time in your life where you just set some time apart. Amen. Not for you just to talk to God, but a time that you can hear from the Lord. Amen. That devoted time that you give to God. If you're not devoted, amen, to a husband, soon that husband will probably quit loving you. Amen. If you don't devote some time, amen, or show some devotion to your wife, amen, you're just asking for trouble. That's the way it is in any type of family relationship. It has to be that way with God. Show that you, amen, are devoted to Him. Amen, by showing that devoted time. Amen, you spend some time towards Him. Amen. If you don't devote a little bit of time there, you never learn anything about Him. Never find out who He is. Amen. But you're sure cry out to Him first time you get into a trap. You're sure cry out to Him the first time, amen, some terrible thing begins to come your way. Amen. But the writer tells us that if you will, amen, spend some time looking for the secret place of the Most High. Amen. If you'll find Him and dwell there, He will be that refuge, fortress, comforter. He will come to your defense. Amen. Not only is it found in a place of devotion, it's found in a place where there is a return of confidence. Amen. We notice here in verse number 5 that the writer tells us, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Amen. A place of devotion, there's a place where confidence can return. How many has ever found at times that you lack confidence in what God has done or can do for you, or what you can even do for God? The devil gets in our minds and we begin to think, well, I'm not able to do that. And I'm not able to do this. I'd never be able to make it in this way or that way. And he just works and wiggles and lies and deceives you and I to the point where we don't feel like that we're able to stand. We're not going to make it. We might as well give up now. We might as well enjoy the world. We might as well go ahead and have fun. Do all these things that everybody else is doing. Amen. But when you realize that there is some confidence that can be gained by getting into the secret place of the Most High, the first thing the psalmist tells us is that fear is gone. Fear, amen, can be removed. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid. Amen. When you have fear that rules your life as you try to serve the Lord, amen, you can't serve God that way. You can't fight the devil that way. fear, amen. And I know there's some things about fear. We're to fear God. That's begin wisdom. Fear in God. There is understanding that they have a little fear at times. Amen. Makes you smarter. Makes you a little wiser in some of the things of life. Amen. If you at least have a little bit of understanding what your enemy is and who he is, and learn that you need to fear him in a sense, that's wisdom. Amen. But to be ruled by fear, never to do anything and never try to attempt in everything, never try to step out. Amen. Brother and sister, then fear has ruled your life. The psalmist said there is a secret place of the Most High God where you can get help. Amen. You don't have to have your spiritual life ruled by fear. Not afraid of terror by night. Not afraid of the enemies, arrows by day. It's amazing, amen, as Christians who are a child of God, amen, we lose the fact and we become so fearful of all the things in this world. Amen. Now I tell you, if there was some idiot that had some big gun pointed at my head, I'd probably be a little scared. Right? I mean, I'm not going to go around like John Wayne or somebody like that, you know, that has all of these, you know, macho type. No, if they got a gun pointed in my head, I'm probably not going to be too excited about it. But I'm not going to let every threat, amen, not every threat that comes from the things of this world, natural as they may, even storms of life, amen. I'm not going to say, yeah, come on, tornado, come my way. I'm sure looking for you to hit me. No, I'm not going to do that. Amen. But I'm not going to let my life be ruled by fear, even of natural things. Oh, the wind's blowing. We better go get some shelter. Come on now. There are folks that are ruled even that far. Oh, the wind's, oh, it's getting a little black. We better go. And I'm not saying that there's not maybe a need of wisdom. I know I've gotten way out here on a limb right here. And let's hope it don't break. It really, you know, let's hope it don't break. But I'm trying to get us to see that if you're saved, you're a child of God. Amen. We're talking in our Sunday school class. And Paul writes in Romans in that 8th chapter about being a son of God. Amen. The Spirit, how being led of the Spirit and being a son of God. We are there by adoption. Amen. How great God is. What it means for you and I to be a child of God. Amen. And then he begins to just bring in these little things, pulling those first 11 verses. Amen. Together, we see how great God is. Amen. God is our shield. God is our protector. He promised, amen, he'd be a refuge, a fortress, a comforter, a defense. Amen. If you'll not allow yourself to be ruled by fear. We're not to be afraid of the terror by night. Not afraid of the enemy's arrows day by day. Not afraid of the plague or the unknown. Not afraid of destruction or even ambush in the middle of the day. Brother and sister, the devil is always looking for a way to get into your heart, your life, your family. Amen. We live a life that is guided or led by the Spirit of God. And when that is the case, friend, amen, no matter what the devil tries to do, what angle he tries to come at, you don't have to fear him because you're a child of God. But you got to find this place, amen, you got to find this secret place every once in a while to maintain it. Amen. And so in that 7th verse, he said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. Then he said, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Amen. The confidence that you can have in the Lord. He wants to restore that. He'd like for you to stand upon God's word. Amen. I don't know who phrased it first, but one of the first ones I ever heard phrased it, I guess, was Brother Hyatt when I was just a child. And there he would tell him that we're going to take and We're going to charge hell with a water pistol. Well, I don't know about all of that, but I know this. There needs to be a confidence. Amen. In your and my heart, there needs to be a confidence in God. Amen. That no matter what's going on my left and on my right, what's going on behind or even up ahead, I'm a child of God. Amen. And I'm going to stand on and I'm going to walk on and I'm going to fight on. Until I make heaven my home. Amen. You can have a confidence by getting into the secret place of the Most High. Going on in verse number 9. He says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Amen. And so we have a place of devotion, a place where confidence returns. Here we hear what the psalmist says to us about a place that I call a place of defense. Amen. A place of defense. Anytime that you're on the defensive end, amen. Some folks are defensive minded. Some folks are offensive minded. Some are pessimistic. Some are, what's the other one? Optimistic. Amen. People are just in different categories. Way we're made up. Not just way we're made up. Amen. Some are on the offensive mode, always attacking. Always attacking. It's kind of funny or odd, I suppose, but I was in one of the little schools the other day one of the boys was a fifth grade class and I was going in different classes, actually helping different students And so at this time, they were just doing some different things. So the teacher said that this boy's name's Wyatt. Wyatt wanted to learn how to play chess. And I wanted to know, and she said, I don't remember how. And she said, you don't happen to know how to play chess. And I said, well, I do know how to play. I haven't played in a long time, but I can probably, you know, show him a few things and teach him how each piece moves, that kind of thing. And So we sit down, and I was teaching them, and they were writing out all the instructions and what each piece could do, so on and so forth. And so we didn't get to finish that day, but I was back later in the week, and so they had time. And so she said, well, would you want to finish that game with Wyatt? So I did. I sat down with him, and then we finished, and that little girl came along and played him. And so I was kind of helping her a little bit. And then when I said, my mom and dad's, my nephew, here he come walking in with a chessboard. And he's wanting to learn how to play, wanting to play. And so he set that all up, you know, in hopes that I'd say, yeah, I'll play you a game of chess. And so he set it all up, and I couldn't hardly say no. So I said, sure. I said, Colton, let's play. So I played him a couple times, and on Friday and then or Saturday morning, and then later in the afternoon before I left, I played him a couple times more. And, you know, it doesn't seem to matter. He's 12 or something like that, and hardly ever played. And I'm not going to tell you, but I played a few times a long time ago. And I realized that I don't think real fast on some things. Those folks that play that good think way ahead. They're making moves to get you to make moves. Not just one step. You know, they're two and three, good ones, three and four steps ahead. They're seeing the board, making moves to get you, amen, to make a move, to make him make a move, to make you until you finally lose. I've always, some of them, they say, can beat you in three steps. I've always wanted to do that. But, you know, it just doesn't happen sometimes. But sometimes in even the game of chess, if you're not careful, you get on the defensive all the time. All of your moves are just to defend, never to go on the offensive. I'm playing my nephew. I don't know how much he's played. And so we're just kind of playing along, and he's moving all these, you know, pieces out, and we've not played too long, and I've got all of his good pieces. All he's got left is his king and his little pawns, you know, and they can't do a whole lot. But you know, I'm not trying to be that way, but he just puts them out there, and I don't, you know, well, you know, you got to teach them sometimes, right? And so you know, because he about beat me the last time we played, so I thought my teaching was pretty good. But nonetheless, I'm not very good, so I guess that's not real good. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? But I sit there on the defensive. And after a while, I said, man, it's going to go on forever. I've got to make some offensive moves here. And so I made a couple, three, had him in a corner. Next thing you know, it was over with. You can't stay on the defensive all the time. You can't do it. Amen. The devil attacks, and he'll attack, he'll attack, he'll attack. There just comes a time when you need, amen, to attack as well. But I want you to hear this in verse number 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, and then skip part of that and come to the end of it, and says, thy habitation. Because thou hast made the Lord thy habitation. Listen what happens. Amen. In verse number 9, we realize, amen, if we will abide where the Lord is, if we will abide where the Lord is, in verse 10, no evil, amen, can touch you. Now, I know you're saying, boy, what about all of this evil that's going on around us and sickness and trials and, you know, I want to now change my phrase just a little bit in this regard. No evil can touch you that God will not allow to touch you. I have that right? All right. Amen. Job went through a lot, but it was because God allowed it. Right? The devil couldn't get there. Why couldn't he get there? What did he have around him? He had a hedge around him. Brother and sister, are you and I not a child of God? Amen. Precious in his eyes, living for him. I believe we got a hedge around us this morning. I really do. Amen. And what comes your way, amen, I believe the devil has to get permission to bring it. Now, you may make some bad choices, no doubt about that. You may make some bad choices. You may do some things that brings on your own troubles. But if you live for God, of course, Job was perfect. I don't guess any of us are quite there. I know some of you are close, I know. But we're probably not quite there. Therefore, amen, we may make some mistakes and bring some things on ourselves. Don't go blaming God. Don't even go blaming the devil. Just look back at yourself and say, oh, I was the cause of this one. Lord, give me mercy. That's when you call out for mercy. Amen. But if you will abide, amen, in the presence of the Lord, and I got to hurry here. No evil thing can touch you. Amen. Verse 11 tells us he'll give his angels charge over you. Verse number 12, he said, we'll help you. Amen. And even at times, we're going to carry you. And number 4, amen, it tells us that we're going to be strengthened for the battle. That's verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and on the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under your feet. I added your in there, amen, because it is necessary to see that it's you and I. Amen, we're not talking about somebody a long time ago. We're talking about somebody now. Amen, and the devil is after us. That serpent, that lion, amen, going to and fro. Amen, but you can find a place of defense. Amen, you can find a place of defense and stamp on him a while. Amen, Brother Dennis talked to us about dancing. Amen, on the devil's head. Why don't we just do that every once in a while? Amen, and realize we got victory and we're overcomers and we don't have to be defeated. Amen, we got a line of defense that's all around us and he's ready at any moment, any time to take up our cause. And lastly, here in verse 14 through 16, because he has set his love. This is the Lord. Now, if you go back to my little analogy earlier, amen, the Lord begins to talk to us. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. Amen. A place of defense. And of course, that key word we find over and over is a place of deliverance. When you get into the secret place of the Most High, amen, it is a place where you can be delivered and set free. Verse 14, when we set our love on the Lord, amen, look what he does. We'll be delivered. Amen, when you'll set your love, your affection on things above, amen, you'll be delivered from the affection and the things of this world. The things that are in your heart will come forth. Brother and sister, laying up treasure in heaven. Amen, instead of laying up treasure down here, set your affection, your love upon the Lord, and you'll be delivered. Verse 14, when we come to know, amen, the Lord by name. Look what he said. He said here, I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Amen. Oh, I think that's a wonderful statement, don't you? Because he hath known my name. Amen. He got to know the Lord. Amen. That's the other thing that Paul wrote in chapter number 8. And he said here, Abba, Father. Amen. Crying out, being a son of God. Amen. Abba, Father. To be able to know the Lord by name. It's a special thing, friend, when you can know the Lord. Amen. You can call out to him. Amen. He's a counselor. He's a mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. And on you and I could go this morning. Whatever he need, what you need in your life, he is. But he is the one and only true God. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son, Holy Ghost that was given to lead and live in our lives. Amen. But thank God we can know him and we can know him by name. You can have a relationship with the Lord. You can know him. Amen. You get closer. The more closer you get to somebody, the more you know about them, and the more comfortable you feel about calling them by their name. Amen. That's the relationship we're looking for. And when you have it, he said, I'll set them on high. Amen. I'm going to lift them up above the troubles. I'm going to lift them up above the clouds. I'm going to set them on high. Amen. And keep my glory over them. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said in verse 15, when they call upon the Lord, when they call upon me, he said, number one, I'm going to answer them. I'm going to answer them. I'm going to answer them. One way or the other, I'm going to answer them. Now, it may not be yes or no. It may be silence. And we all know sometimes God speaks just that way. Without any saying one thing, we know what he means. We've understood that through parents, haven't we? Sometimes they didn't have to say a word to give you an answer because you knew the answer. Amen. Amen. We call upon the Lord. He'll answer us. The Lord's going to go with us in the times of our trouble. Amen. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in his trouble. And so he's going to go with us in the time of trouble. He's going to deliver us. He said, I will deliver him. And then the last thing says, and I'm going to honor him. I'm going to honor him. Those who will call upon me. Brother and sister, it sounds like that's the place you and I want to be this morning. Amen. It's in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. If we all we got to do is call out and believe and get delivered and get honored. Brother and sister, I don't know where else there ought to be today, but in the presence of the Lord. If I could just get, if I could just attain, if I could just somehow abide in that dwelling place of the presence of God. If I could just get there, no matter what comes my way, amen, the Lord's going to be there. What's going to be? That's the promise of the Lord. Stand this morning. I went longer and I'm sorry. Amen. But oh, don't let the secret place of the Most High get away from you. Don't get so tired of searching that you say, well, I just can't find it. I'm not going to find it. I'm just going to give up. Don't give up. God's got help. God will direct you. God will lead you. Amen. His word will never fail you. It's right there. It's laid out. Amen. Let's seek after the Lord. But sister, this morning, No matter what you're facing, no matter how hard the load or how heavy the load may seem today, God's got a secret place for you. Come on, hon. Play something. We're going to pray. Amen. God's got a secret place for you today. It's the secret place of the Most High God. It's not my secret place. It's not Brother Blue, as much as I respect him and love him, and boy, what a preacher. But it's not his place. It's not anybody else's except God's place this morning. And I might point you to where I found help at, but to be quite honest, you may not get that same help there. I don't know what you need and what you go through, but you may not go through the same thing I go through. And so therefore, that secret place. The one thing about it, though, it's available for every one of us. It's available, and it's available for you and your time and your need and your trouble. Amen. Where you may stand. If I could encourage you, don't give up in this hour. Sister Blue sang a great song. Don't give up. Brother Blue encourages, don't give up. Amen. God's got a secret place for you this morning, and you can find help. Would you come and pray? Let's come in this morning and seek the Lord a little while. Amen. Find that secret place of the Most High. Find it today, would you? Make an effort. See what God will reveal to you. Give it a shot. See what the Lord will show you this morning. Amen. There is a secret place. There's a place. Amen. That you can dwell in the presence of the Lord. And God will lift you up. God will strengthen you. Amen. God will forgive you. God will hear you. Amen. Pray this morning. Pray today with everything you have. You need to be in the secret place of God's presence this morning. Hallelujah.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the paths that I must trod. Walks beside me, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't